My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so happy to be with you today. I'm so excited to bring you a new episode. Today's episode, we are talking about the 7 benefits of taking it slow in a relationship, the benefits of having a slow burn. So as you may know, here at Black Girls Heal, I focus on helping women who struggle with love addiction and love avoidance and love deprivation heal from the trauma that causes love addictive behaviors, trauma bonded relationships, the inability to let go and prioritize yourself. And also those of us who tend to have our walls up and have a hard time letting people in, trusting ourselves, and where all those things meet and match, right? And so an overlap. For those of us who identify with love addiction or a mixed experience of sometimes in some relationships, I rush into it. And when I love hard. And with other ones, I couldn't be bothered. For those of us who identify a lot with love addiction, it is very, 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 very common, if not 100% of the time, that we are very susceptible to rushing into partnering with people who are not the right fit for us because we are going very, very fast. We're going very fast in our fantasy of who we think this person is or who they could be, what this relationship could be. We see the possibility that this is it. This is what we have been looking for and waiting for. They are saying the right things. They are matching the things on our list that our pastor likes them. You know, there are things that are making us want to let our guards down and let down our sense of discernment with these relationships. And so I teach in my coaching programs and also I don't know. Actually, I think that's what actually inspired this podcast episode, because I don't think I've ever had a full episode that focused on not only why you need to take it slow, but a little bit of how you take it slow. And so we're going to talk about the why here. And I think this is really important for those of us who are hopeless romantics, like those of us who want the happily ever after. We want the fairy tale. We at least want a story that is not riddled with pain or, you know, struggle love and all that other stuff. And so sometimes we can make, because we've had so much pain in the past, it's not that we're trying to rush towards having more relationships that give us pain. It is more like, this one looks so good. It seems like it is the answer to my prayers. It does seem like it is a physical representation of the hard work that I've put in. So I want to fall into it and I want to trust it. And I'm not saying to not do that, but I'm saying that it is possible for you to have that deep experience of falling in love with someone, building a relationship with them and getting to know them without abandoning yourself, without abandoning discernment, your common sense at some points in time, and seeing who this person is and seeing what they actually have to offer. So again, in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the 7 benefits of going slow. And of course, in that, we're going to pick up some tips and tools along the way to help us pace ourselves when we meet people instead of rushing into attaching. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay, so I'm coming at you with a post-editing add-in. At the time that I'm recording this, I've already recorded the episode and all the things, but when I was sitting and reflecting on the lesson for today, pretty sure I already mentioned it in today's podcast, but just in case I didn't, or just to be clear, I know that many of the people listening to this podcast episode, you either have been, you will be, or you know someone where what they say is true when you meet the one you know. And it may move quicker than anyone else, but there's safety there, there's security there, there is a knowing there. And there's real evidence, 10, 20, 30 years down the line, that that path was the right path, that it wasn't because of love addiction, it wasn't because of trauma, it was because they met their person. And I do absolutely know that happens, right? Again, because most of them, many of us are either, we've known that person, we may have been that person, you know, post our recovery or healing journey, or we aspire to be that person. However, for the population of people who listen to this podcast, who may identify with the symptoms of love addiction, we have more false starts than anybody else in the population. And for us, when we attach to a person and think that this is it, and think that they're the one, the consequences are devastating. For us, it's not a light, oops, well, I guess I learned from that person. For us, it may be months or years or decades worth of us being attached to someone who is toxic, unavailable for us, and us trying to get someone or something to be someone that they're not. You know, there may be children involved, finances, our sexual health, our mental health, right? And one of the qualifiers of being a love addict is even when things cause us mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, sexual danger, we will abandon ourselves. It's really, really hard for us to see our where it is okay for us to prioritize what we want and what we need in the middle of the relationship. It's really hard for us to have clarity around us. We are surrounded by guilt or shame or lack or fear or obligation or just yearning for that love and that connection that feels like it's so close and it's right here, and the willingness and desire to make it work. So in this insert, I just want to say, even though this episode is about really telling us to go slow, this is not me saying that it does not happen. And the only reason I'm inserting it here is because I want every listener here to know that I understand the nuance in this. But again, for us listening, a skill we need to learn, we already know how to go fast. We already know how to go all in. We already know how to put everything out there. What we need to learn how to do is slow down, pace ourselves, find the basis of relationships and self-esteem to feel enough and feel fulfilled, and trust. We need to learn how to trust in this romantic process and for it to be a healing tool for us. And so throughout this episode, especially near the end, I'm going to share more about that and what that looks like. But I just wanted to say that here before we jump in. All right, so that's it. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode.
Okay, so the first benefit in seeing and going slow with someone, so let's talk about how this happens, right, when you meet someone. Whether or not you're meeting someone through a dating app, you've known them for a long period of time, and you decided to move from being friends to being something more. You met them out in the wild. You were introduced through happenstance. Y'all are a real-life enemies to lovers. Y'all couldn't stand each other, and then one day something changed. You know, whatever it is, whatever the meet-cute is or wherever the shift happens, it is still very important for you. If you are susceptible to going with the fantasy of who you want someone to be or what could be in a relationship to where you miss red flags, it is going to be imperative for you to learn how to slow down. Because a lot of times the reason why we're rushing into things is because of the trauma that we've had, because we are looking for the relief of what it would feel like to be loved and held, to feel seen and secure and safe in the arms and in the experience of somebody else. Finally feeling seen and finally feeling valued, finally feeling vindicated, right? Like, I'm a good person. I take care of myself. I'm, you know, when I've been in the world, I would be a great partner, a great mother, a great, you know, friend, whatever it may be. I'm a great daughter. I'm a great sister. So I deserve to have these things. Sometimes when these opportunities come, it's not as much as about us wanting to escape into fantasy. It's more like, well, I deserve this. Okay. Of course, this is here. Of course, it's easy. This is what people told me was going to be like in the first place. So finally, I meet someone where it seems like everything is clicking, everything is connecting, just like people told me it would. So I'm going to go balls to the wall inside of it. And again, I really feel like you can have your story. I hope that the energy of this episode is not going to be, you meet someone, they're amazing, and then you have, you know, the voice of this podcast, my voice, being like putting water and dousing out the fire. I want you to have fire there, but I want you to pay attention to where there's like, you know, different spouts of kerosene and lighter fluid that's being doused onto it. And I'm like, hey, sis, that fire you got is getting kind of big. And you're like, no, that's totally normal. I think it's getting so big, it's going to end up burning your face if you don't back up a little bit. And you're like, girl, this is just heat. You know, I love the coziness. So like, girl, right. Get it before the fire eats you up, right? And so one of the benefits, after you meet someone and, you know, you're building a connection and you're starting to date, one of the things that I teach my students is to pace and talk about having a dating plan. We talk about looking at how and when and how long it's going to look like for you to decide to cross different thresholds and milestones with people. How long, what are going to be the needs for you to have met before you decide to be intimate with someone, before you decide to spend extended amounts of time with them. That includes, you know, 10-hour conversations on the phone. We have said this before in previous podcast episodes, how some of us, we believe that because we're so strict with our physical access to people, so maybe you're someone who does have to wait to have people actually see you in person or go out on a date or, you know, introduce them to people in your life. So you think that that's a good barrier. However, you will spend 4 or 5 hours on the phone with someone talking about your life and your traumas and everything else. You will text them all day. They become a part of your everyday routine. We really underestimate how some of us have been in deep, deep heartbreak because we have been in deep, deep relationships, emotional relationships with people that were not committed to us, that we're able to just use that access to our heart in our life without ever having to pour anything into it, because technically y'all are just talking. Technically y'all are just friends. And so now you're reeling from this really deep, devastating heartbreak from someone that you were really invested with, but you don't really have the validation from your friends or your loved ones or your community or maybe even your therapist, because this was a situationship. And they don't understand, because you gave so much of your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your soul to this person who you might not even ever held their hand. You know, they may have never even taken you on a proper date. Y'all might have only dated 1 or 2 times, but still kept in touch and stayed friends for months after that. And meanwhile, you're falling deeper and deeper in love with them. So when you first meet someone, it's so important to pace the amount and access that you give to someone to slow this process down, because we do fall in love. We fall in love in so many different ways as women. We fall in love with our hearts. We fall in love with our spirits. And we absolutely fall in love with our bodies. I've said this before, and you know, if you listen to any other healers podcast, hopefully they're going to co-sign what I say, but it is scientific that when we have sex with people, it doesn't matter what your spiritual beliefs are and everything else, even though that will also co-sign it depending on whatever spiritual discipline you are part of, or even non-spiritual discipline, and from a woo-woo sex set, S-E-C-T. It will co-sign it, but even if you're deeply logical and objective, science tells us that when we, as women, have sex with people, hormones, chemicals are released that bond us to that person. It is just biological, is how it works. No matter how much you try to convince yourself otherwise, even if you lean more towards a powerful authoritarian dominatrix even experience, you are still bonding to that person, whether or not that person is now your sub and your pet that you have affection for, or whether or not this is someone who you are wanting to build something with, it still all connects. So we have to be very wise in how, when, and how often we are pacing our relationships with them. And so the first benefit that you're going to get, that's all the leading into the benefits out, and even though there were some benefits inside of that as well, is you actually get to see who they actually are. I wrote this in an order that I don't want to say it in. So I'm looking to say, okay, I'm going to tell y'all point number three as my point number one. So point number one, again, is you see who they really are and not who you want them to be. So the book that is coming out within the next couple of weeks, fingers crossed after this last copy editor reading revision, that there's not anything glaring, but I'm so excited for it to come out for the holidays. That has been my goal. But the book that's coming out, the How to Pick Partners book for love addicts, talks about this. It gives you 38 qualifiers for you to see, is this person that I am building a connection with actually someone who's available to me versus someone who is not available to me? I think a lot of times we will mistake chemistry and whether or not we really like some things about a person to see just foundationally if they are safe for us, if they are even the type of people that are possible to build a deep, intimate, lasting relationship with. What are the signs that I need to see to show that this is someone who is going to invest in me the way that I want to invest into them? Or what are the signs that what they're doing is very destructive. When I rush into a relationship with someone or really accelerate the amount of emotional intensity, availability, physical availability, sexuality, and everything that I have with someone, I miss out on seeing all that. You cannot stay objective with someone that you are rushing or allowing yourself to fall in love with without having some discernment. The way that this happens is if you are spending hours and days and weeks all the time with them, whether or not that hours and days and weeks are over the phone, you're having marathon dates, you know, you're staying in their apartment after your date one, two, three, or four, staying overnight and everything, you are meeting their family members and all these other things. And so as specific as these things are, also know that they are kind of general. If y'all have a group of mutual friends, of course you're going to be hanging out with your friends together. If you, you know, there's some type of emergency and you might have a time that you want to get back home, but something happens and you need a ride or something like that, things happen. But I hope that y'all were taking my energy is more about, if I have 7 days of the week, how many days of the week am I spending with this person? How many hours of my waking time am I talking with them? And if I'm not talking about them, how much of my waking hours am I thinking about them? Am I fantasizing about what they want? And are they going to text me? And what's going to happen next? And replaying our last date together, replaying our last sexual encounter together. So that way, even when they're not around, I'm still attaching to them. The number one threat for us as love addicts, like I said in the intro, is attaching to the fantasy of who we want this person to be versus who they actually are. If I'm actually pacing the amount of time that I'm spending with you and the amount of time that I'm talking with you, or I'm using the times that we actually had dates to intentionally get to know you, ask questions, listen to what you're saying, pay attention to if you're asking me about myself, seeing what happens in between our days to see what you do with that information, to see if you're actually pursuing me or not pursuing me. Are you pursuing me in a way that I actually would want you to pursue me on top of that, right? This is how I actually gather information. That is actually based on reality versus what I want to be true, because our minds are powerful. Our minds can create any kind of truth we want to be there. Our minds can trick someone who is emotionally unavailable, who tells you straight out, yeah, I really have a hard time letting people in. And we can take that statement to be like, wow, look how vulnerable they are. Or wow, they trusted me enough to tell me that. We must really have a lot of faith in our connection. This is just another sign of our chemistry that they would be so vulnerable to tell me. Like, we will twist, literally twist what someone has said and done to be the complete opposite if it fits and matches what we want to be true. We need time to pull back from that. Sometimes what happens when we're actually pacing ourselves too, if you meet someone you really like and you're trying to go out on dates with them, and you're either doing this for yourself or say y'all are both really busy. You know, you have some vacation trips or things coming up. They have their own vacation or work trips coming up. So there is a lot of space in between your dates. You can actually go through some mini withdrawal symptoms, especially if this is someone you really like, because it's like, well, I met this person. They're really great. I have to wait to spend time with them. I have to, you know, what am I going to do with that time? What if they meet somebody else? What if the chemistry isn't there anymore? What if they forget about me? You know, I want to ride this momentum. So in moments like that, when you're going through those moments of withdrawal, you need to spend some time thinking about what is it that I'm hoping that if this relationship works out, that it's going to give me. Turn it back to yourself. I've talked about this a lot, especially in the most recent podcast episodes this year. Turn it back to yourself and say, what is it that if this person actually, you know, sent me a text that said, I miss you so much. I am so sad that we have a few weeks away from each other, but I can't wait to see you again. Like, I'm looking at the phone, wishing that this would happen. Would have Sheena in my ear saying, hey, relax, right? Like, focus on yourself. And everything in me wants to initiate these texts and initiate this bonding with this person to not lose contact with them. That they send me the text that I have in my dreams right now. I'm missing, I can't wait to see you again. What is it that that would make me feel? And to move out of how that would make me feel in my brain to, okay, what does that feel like in my body? And hold that experience. Now see if he can hold that emotion, hold that feeling that's in a way that's not attached to them. So maybe it might make me feel validated. Maybe the feeling is it might make me feel special. It might make me feel like I am important. And if I feel important and special and validated, I'm going to feel warm in my shoulders. I'm going to feel some happiness in my gut. I'm going to feel whatever. And let yourself feel those feelings in your body. And then go into the mirror and say to yourself, what is it that you are waiting for this other person to say to you? Let's stop waiting on other people to validate us and celebrate us in ways that we're not even celebrating and validating ourselves. One of our looks in the mirror and says, Sheena, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy that I get to spend life with you and I get to know you and I get to treat you well and I get to surprise you and I get to spoil you. And you are the most incredible and most amazing thing to me. And you are a blessing, right? Like, I felt like I'm looking in the camera talking to y'all, but I'm here talking to me and I feel that. Like, that feels so good and rich and yummy and juicy and it is so fulfilling. And so, can we get to a place where we learn how to give that to ourselves? And if we have our own blocks or where we are doing those types of things in the mirror, it feels like it's just bouncing off where we can't actually receive it. It just feels like we're just like, you know, saying a script, but there's no emotional connection to it. That sign for me, for AKA you, to do the work that you need to break whatever that barrier is to where it is hard for you to receive affirmation or validation from yourself. That there is something about other people, external validation is the only time that I can feel nurtured and comforted and adored and loved. And that's more real than what I can get to myself. Because in that case, of course, you're going to be more prone to rushing into relationships versus actually being in your body and being present and slowing down. Again, the first benefit of a sober relationship is you actually get to see who they are after the promises, after the, you know, you're so amazing and then all the honeymoon and everything. Are these things that they can actually sustain and keep going in your relationship together? The correct thing that you get to see if you actually take your time in the relationship, which might sound obvious, but I think for many of us, and we may have stories to back it up, it is not, is you get to see, do they actually like you? Are they really interested in you, who you are as a person, or with you putting a lot of space in between how much you talk to them on the phone, how much of yourself you give them access to, the time that you give them access to, and that there's actual limits, that they don't have full access to you all the time, that you're not responding all of the time. Do you find that they have been wanting to stay connected to you because they think you're just interesting as a person, or have they been trying to manipulate you to get sex, to use you as an emotional dumping ground, to use you for money, to use you for, you know, a favor, whatever it may be, but are they actually there just for you? You cannot lose what is for you. You cannot miss what God has for you, right? So I think for us as love addicts, if there's any time that we're like, well, if I'm not always available or if I, you know, say I'm not going to be able to go out on a date with them, even though I might have this night free, then maybe they may get tired or maybe they may be mad at me or maybe they may go on a date with somebody else and I lose my opportunity. The person who is for you, they are going to want to get to know you. Before I keep going, because I know there might be some new listeners here who are hearing me talk about pacing and not being available, you don't have the history to know that I am very much anti playing games. I believe that if you are playing games, especially someone who is securely attached, someone who is healthy, that is the quickest way to lose someone who knows themselves and knows who they are and knows what they deserve and that they're confident in it. If you're like doing this cat and mouse thing and it's something they're not into, they are going to be out. The reason why I'm talking about pacing and not being available is because as love addicts, we are more prone to drop everything when we meet this person that we feel like is going to be our super friend. They're going to be our super partner, that we really love the romance that they have. You know, we will allow ourselves, instead of going to our yoga class at 5 that we go to every single day, we have our people, we have our community, and we, it's part of our routine. I might switch my time to go at 6 because such and such wants to meet at 5. For a quick dinner, right? And we will slowly start to push the things that make us who we are. We will slowly start to detach from and create distance with the things that made us grounded and made us feel full in the first place. Full, not full. F-U-L-L. So what I'm talking about not being super responsive, I'm trying to tell people, don't make someone that you don't even know your everything. They are not your partner. And even when they're your partner, you still need to maintain who you are because that's who they are attracted to. I think I've told this story before. I remember I had one boyfriend who we kept doing like this off and on thing, but it was at a time that we had a whole lot of mutual friends. Like we like got to know each other in the friend group. It turned into something else and we dated for a while. And so we dated for a while, then we broke up and then we did the on and off thing. And one thing that this person told me was, you know, Tina, I noticed that, this is a strong paraphrase, but he said, I noticed that when you're with your people, when you're with your friends and I'm watching you, you are like this bright, shining, like you're talking all the time, you're doing all these things. But when you come around me, like that changes. And what he didn't have words for at the time that I have words for now is I became very soft and very demure and very mindful, but not in a good way. I became very like passive and whatever you want or whatever you need. Like I just kind of nestled into being what I thought to be the perfect girlfriend. Again, I didn't have the words at the time of knowing why I became needless and wantless, but it was absolutely a trauma response. You like someone, you learn to attend to what is it that will make them happy or make you fully available to the relationship and to this romantic, you know, connection. Well, that was something that he did not like. He did not like that I lost myself in for sakes of being his, you know, little pet. Now, there are narcissists that I was connected to a different course in time that would not say that. They would love. They would have loved if I would have played the game with them and became needless and wantless to let them do a run, you know, ramshot over me. But I hope that's the right words. But to just run over me. But someone who was more secure and confident in who they were hated while I would do my right to be there. There was even one time that, well, I'm not going to tell that story because that might sound more embarrassing to me versus helpful for you, but it was clear that he was kind of blowing me off. And, you know, to this day, whether or not it was on purpose or to like kind of see what I was going to do or if he was legitimately busy. But whatever it was, the feedback I got after that was like, Sheena, like, you should have went and did whatever it is that you wanted to do, you know, and almost like kind of disappointed that I wasn't standing up for myself and what disappointed that I wasn't like, I should have been on a fly, you know, that kind of energy. People who are secure and confident and like you for you want you to be fully embodied. They don't want you to be a Barbie doll. They don't want you to be so complacent. They don't like when you're like, you know what? I'm in this relationship. I'm in this partnership. I'm in this marriage. So I'm willing to give everything it is for you. Healthy and secure person. I know some of you are partnerships where that is the case. But a healthy and secure person who wants the best for you or what you want likes the friction. They like you owning your space and owning your spirit. Okay? And so if every time I'm dating someone or talking to someone, I start to lose who I am in exchange for the relationship, I'm actually not doing a benefit for the relationship. Okay? I'm going to come back to this. This is one of the points I'm going to come back in a little bit.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors. As a winner of Apple Podcast Show of the Year, Code Switch is the sort of show that handles race and identity like you've never heard before. Regardless of what background you are, Code Switch knows that identity is part of every story. For anyone who is a fan of NPR programming like me, that always does a beautiful job of bridging incredible storytelling, intellectual conversations, and deep heart resonance, Code Switch does such a beautiful job of integrating all of these things while also talking about the real impact of race and culture in our everyday lives. When so much of the world talks about race in ways that feel either preachy or alienating, Code Switch is interested in how race and identity shape our world in real, sometimes funny, and sometimes confusing ways. From discussions with comedians about what makes a good race joke to how questions of identity swirl around reality TV, Dungeons and Dragons, and BBLs, Code Switch guides us through all the different spaces that people of color live in and what it's like to navigate them. Code Switch doesn't just talk about race and identity in the abstract. It tackles real everyday questions like how to create boundaries with immigrant parents or tips to how to speak to family members whose ideas about race and culture may feel stuck in the past. From what James Baldwin can teach us about Israel to unpacking all the identity politics behind Kamala Harris's race for the presidency, to exploring the long history of sex testing in sports, Code Switch gets really real about the way that race and identity in the headlines can affect the way we think about race and identity at home. And I really like how sometimes they have a Q&A portion of the podcast. There's actually an episode that talks about whether or not bike lanes add to gentrification, which me living in Houston, Texas, which is known for not being a city that's great about public access to transportation and ease of it being walkable, conversations like this are top of mind for me. And what does it mean to give equitable access to everyone who needs it? Each new episode of Code Switch feels like an intimate letter to the ways that race and identity are always connected and how our lives, no matter who we are, is made richer by thinking through them. Listen now to Code Switch from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. Ever feel like you are too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Everything is pre-measured, pre-portioned, and easy to prepare. Plus, Sunbasket meals are dietitian approved, so you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table. Sunbasket makes it so easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto friendly, gluten free, diabetes friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. And you've already heard me share my personal love for the hearty portions that made sure I left each Sunbasket meal feeling full and satisfied. There is something for every health journey, and it's so easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. So go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
So let me go to point number 3. The third benefit out of you pacing in a relationship is that you see what their actual offer is. So I'm still kind of the umbrella of fantasy a little bit. But when I said, what do I mean when I say offer? I heard someone else, and I wish I could give them credit for using this exact word. Well, maybe I have heard this in different places between different teachers. So you will hear lots of different people who talk about relationships and stuff, talk about what does this person have to offer as far as like what they bring to the table kind of thing. And I think us as love addicts, that's not even clearly on our radar. And if it is, we don't give it enough time to see if it's actual truth. There's this person who we have all this chemistry with and we really click with and connect with. They say that they have time available for us. Do they actually have time available for us? They say they have money and a plan. Will they actually show the money and the plan? They say they have affection and emotions that they want to give and share with us. Do they actually have emotions and affection that they actually give and share with us? Do we have to initiate any of these things? When they bring these things, is it consistent? When they talk about the future and they paint the future, do they have all the assets and punish to show that this future that they have for you is something that they can actually create if it's not already here or recreate if something bad happens? Because life is going to life. And so do they have the skill set that if they lose this really incredible job that they have, that they're going to be able to build something better or find another position or, you know, make it so that what they are bringing into this relationship as far as covering, as far as protection, as far as honesty and integrity, as far as prioritizing you, is that offer real or is it just a whole lot of dreaming, right? And in the meantime, while they're offering these things, are you sitting around waiting for someone who's finally going to see you enough to want to give those things to you? Now, this is language, of course, I need to give my disclaimer. This is language that my love addicts are going to attend to more than my love avoidance. My love avoidance are like, I got my own. I don't need you. Like, I want you to bring these things, but I got it, right? And so, like, there's nothing in you when you hear me say something like that that's like, you're susceptible to that, and that's great. I'm great that you are fully taken care of and you know how to take care of yourself in that way. For those of us who struggle with love addiction, even for those of us who are very high functioning, there can be some of us who are looking for someone to rescue us in a way. And whether or not we will say these words out loud, I do this podcast so I can say the things that some of us may be afraid to say out loud because it may seem embarrassing or weak or immature or dumb or silly or foolish. And so if it don't apply to you, if it don't apply, let it fly. You know, like, it's always take what you need to leave the rest. But I know. I know that I know that I know. that many of us will attach to the hope and the dream of what we think someone can offer us or what they said versus seeing what actually happens. And so if we're pacing our relationship, if we're going slower, then we're going to have more ability to see that. So if you are needing help with pacing your relationship, there are two options that you have that I have available for you to get help with that. The first one is my Dating 101 for Love Addicts course. It's a mini course. And you get all access to all the dating plans, to the things for you to keep in mind, the things that may go wrong, the things that may go right, how to make sure you don't lose yourself. All of that is in within Dating 101 for Love Addicts. And you can get that. You get lifetime access to it and all updates that I give by going to blackgirlsfeel.org/dating. The other option is, of course, the Recovery School, which comes with that mini course as part of the program. And what's great about the Recovery School is we go through all the trauma that makes us more susceptible to these types of relationships. And we also spend time on what it looks like to be love available instead of love avoided for those of us who switch back and forth between the two. Or what does it look like to bring these skills into our friendships and to our other relationships as well? Okay. So I share that right now, at the time of recording this, this should still be love. By the time of recording this, when this goes up, there'll be a few more days if you're listening to this podcast when it's posted. But if you go to therecoveryschool.com and you put in the code new student, you will get 25% off the enrollment. I'm doing group coaching for everyone who is a student from now through the end of December, which is perfect through the holidays. And so you can decide which one is best for you. Do I just want to focus strictly on the dating skills and I don't really need all the other trauma support and everything else and friendship and family stuff as well? So I'm just going to do the dating course, Dating 101 for Love Addicts. Or do I want to do the Recovery School? So again, Dating 101 for Love Addicts is blackgirlsheal.org/dating. The Recovery School is therecoveryschool.com. Let's talk about the rest of the benefits of going slow. Benefit number 4 is you don't mistake sex and affection for chemistry and bonding. So I've already kind of talked about this a little bit in the previous years about how when we are sexually intimate with someone, no matter how much we're trying to keep our eyes on the prize and, you know, we're talking to our therapist about it and we have accountability partners, sex will change your clarity. It absolutely does. The best thing that you can do is to keep some space and distance in between the time you're intimate, or maybe either wait on intimacy or re-wait on intimacy. I know that's going to be like, girl, I ain't doing that. Like, what you ring a bell, we fit. Wait, some of us. We've been able to do that, right? We are able to tap into our own self-control. But if there are things that are happening in this relationship that are very rocky for you, and you know that it's making you feel some kind of way, you're feeling uncomfortable and you're really confused, I think pausing on sexual intimacy is going to be very beneficial for you to get your clarity. Now, what's going to be hard is for those of us who are love addicts, the quickest way for us to feel comforted is seen, connected and safe, especially to the person who is the source of my insecurity, the person who feels like the source of why I feel rocky, to be intertwined with this person and to like feel whatever happens with them person is such a really great remedy in the moment until it's not. Some of us have had rocky relationships with people to where the sex, no matter how good it is, no matter how great it has felt emotionally, physically, or otherwise, because of all the destruction that has been happening in the relationship, you don't feel that relief anymore afterwards. You might feel more sick. You might feel some guilt or shame. You might feel more confusion. You might start to feel used, where before you started to feel like, well, we're here, we're together. Like, you know, they're looking in my eyes. They are holding me. They're doing all these things. Now it's like, you know, I've heard some people talk about how they feel like, well, that they're just sex toys that's being used by the person on the other side. And this is a person that they deeply love. So if anything, it makes you want to abandon yourself more, because how jarring is that? This person that this whole time I've made to feel thought was a safe person, I could feel them slipping away and sex doesn't work anymore. So what else do I need to do and give to get that back, to at least get back that initial thing that we had, right? And so pausing, we're taking a step back and dealing with the pain, the abandonment wounds, the fears, the rejection issues that will come up if you step back from having sex with someone who is toxic or unavailable for you. What's going to be revealed where all the things that made you susceptible to be in that type of relationship in the first place, that you're hoping that the sex and the emotional connection, this one changing, becoming who you want them to be, is going to give you. So same thing that I've said before as far as the mirror work, coming to terms with yourself or having conversations with yourself, which is like, if I have sex with this person, what is it that I'm hoping that I will get? And go through all the obvious things, like I want to feel connected, I want to feel pleasure, I want to have an orgasm, I want them to hold me, I want whatever. And then the other emotional stuff is going to come. I want to feel like everything's going to be okay. I want to feel like this relationship is important. I want to feel like I'm important. I want to feel right. Like those deeper inner child thoughts and feelings are going to come up. And it's time for us to do some mirror work around it. It's time for us to do some inner healing work around it so that we don't keep going to people, places, or sources that can't, one, no matter what they give us, it's not going to be enough to fix that internal fear of not feeling important enough, valuable, whatever it is for you and your core negative belief, which is why some of us are and have been in the most incredible relationships, the most incredible friendships, where we're still thinking, but what if they like somebody else? What if this isn't enough? What if they change their mind? What if whatever, right? Or we are drop dead gorgeous and we have friends who all the time tell us how beautiful we are. And we're like, but what about my nose? Or, you know, I could use a little bit of filler. Or, you know, I wish I had more of an ass, or I have too much ass. Like, we will find a way to pit ourselves apart if we don't have fully embodied how amazing we are. So it is really, really important for us to learn how to talk to ourselves and give to ourselves what it is that we need so that we're not waiting on someone else to give that to us who, like I was saying before, either can't fix it in the first place or because they're available, they may not even want to. They may not want to, or they might not know how. We could be with someone who truly is a really great person. Like, it's not that they're evil, they're not bad, they're not, you know, a predator, but we partner with someone who is not equipped to give us what we want and what we need. And the more we stay with them, the more we're doing a dishonor to ourselves and to them, because we both need to find people who can match where we are. And that's not an indictment. You know, there are many people who, I mean, we talk about opposites attract, and you know, what might be a strength for one person is a growth area for another. And that's just something that you get to work through. There's no such thing as a perfect pairing in that way. Those of us who are love addicts, we mistake big red glaring flags for human imperfection, when really it is dangerous for us. So again, another reason why I can't wait to get the How to Pick Partners book out to y'all, because that's what this book is about. How to find people who are safe for you to, first thing I have to figure out, are we safe? Right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Is this person even safe to build with? And then I can worry about, if I like their sense of humor, how cute they look in a suit. You know, do I need to do the black wife effect on them? Like, you know, that's when we can worry about all these other things, you know, just to see if they even have what is foundationally good for us. The fifth reason why it is good for you to take it slow in a relationship is you get more comfortable in your self-love. So if I am not using a person, a relationship, or a fantasy as the fount for me to feel secure on the inside, then what do I do with that, right? If I'm feeling just general anxiety or anxiousness or restlessness in myself, does that mean I just have to go around just feeling kind of this despair? Or do I get to figure out a way how to find that safety, security, and fulfillment myself in my platonic relationships and the life that I build, right? I think it is the hardest thing ever when you first meet someone to go slow. I don't like it. I can tell you right now, I'm teaching this to y'all and I hate it. For those of y'all who are listening, you can't see my eye twitching. I hate it. But is it the right thing to do? Yeah. Does it work out better when it's slower? Absolutely. Do you learn more about yourself and avoid mistakes that you would have made otherwise? For sure. Do you save time? Yes. Do you save heartbreak and money? Yeah. Money on therapy, money on, you know, sweet treats. If you're a sugar girl like me, like, you save a whole lot in a lot of different ways by pacing. And you actually get a really beautiful love story. So I'm going to go ahead and skip to number six to kind of put these things together. The sixth benefit of slowing down is you become more attracted to your partner. Again, this is a throwback to things I've already said in today's podcast episode and before. A healthy and confident person loves a healthy and confident you. You could be someone who is deeply introverted. So when people talk about confidence and like owning a room and stuff, you're like, that is not me and it's never going to be me. And I'm okay with that. And I love that you're not okay with it, that you're okay with that. I love that you know yourself. But let's say you are yarn and knitting fiend, right? And you and your girlfriends always go and visit the different state fairs that are related to yarn and knitting. And it is something that you do. And you have this partner who you're now dating that you're getting to know and spending a lot of time with who wants to hang out with you the next time y'all have a day trip to the nearby festival. Do you tell your girlfriends, hey, can we leave a little bit later because me and, you know, Devon got something going on? Or can we come back a little bit earlier because he has his thing? Or do you let yourself have your full day experience because Devon will be okay? He will be okay and he will be there. And even more so, he will miss you. Give people an opportunity to actually miss you. They will miss you when it is a genuine reason why you're away. Give a consent when you're playing games with them and they will match that energy with their toxic or unhealthy. But secure people can tell too. So if I hear from other people, I don't think you've heard it on this podcast. If you have, when I'm about to misspeak on it. But if you hear from other people who are like, intentionally stay away because it's going to make them want you more, and that's the full reason why you're doing it. Like, in today's episode, I'm trying to tell you to keep distance because you actually have a life. Like this, you're not creating something out of thin air to try to seem elusive and seem mysterious and seem hard to get. No, you actually have things going on. I'm telling you to keep your things that are going on and let them find how they can fit themselves into your life instead of you dropping everything to make it more accessible to them. So, but if I am on the other side of you acting as if you're busy to try to make me like miss you or want you, that's going to turn me off. Look, I can move on to the next. I have other things to do instead of trying to play Inspector Gadget with what you want or what you need. Use your big boy words, use your big girl words to tell me what you want, and then we can make it happen, right? And so allow a person to miss you by actually having your own life and letting them figure out a way how to incorporate you into theirs. Because that is number seven, how you actually get your romantic story. This is another way of what we hear a whole lot of times that I've said before as well, for those of us who are new listeners. I have said before that this kind of like grates on me, what people say, what I'm about to say, but also there is a little bit of a truth in it. Ooh, hold on. Do I actually want to say it now? Because my stomach just hurt. Okay, I'm going to say it. I do not believe in this in the way that I'm saying it. So I'm going to explain why I'm bringing it up now. The phrase that those, when you forget about it, that's when it comes. Oh, God, I just want to like punch through this pretty. Like, it just felt like so gaslighty to those of us who have really great lives. Like, it almost like blames you for things that are coming to pass, which is why I hate the phrase. But the reason why I'm bringing it up here is because I'm trying to hammer a different perspective pull from a statement like this that doesn't feel so condescending, which is for those of us who are afraid that if we actually focus on ourselves and build a life that is completely full without partnership, that means we are signing ourselves up for a life of solitude. Like, and this might not be everybody. I can just say for me as a recovering love addict, this has absolutely been a fear. If I am too content with being single, then I'm actually going to get exactly what I'm building. I'm going to get more singlehood. I'm going to get more alone time. I'm actually not going to call in a partnership. I'm actually going to create the one thing that I don't want. I'm still a hopeless romantic. So if I deny this, then I'm going to lose out on it. But it's been the opposite. The more. I center myself, and the more I center what works for me, the more these folks be coming, bitch. I'm prioritizing, figuring things out, and it is really awesome. And is how you get closer to your love story by making yourself your knight in shining armor or making yourself the main character fully, right? Falling deeply in love with yourself. The mirror work example I gave before, to get to a place where when you're talking to yourself in the mirror, you feel it, but it's a spiritual and emotional experience, but it feels so good. It feels so good. And I think it makes space for other people to come in because they don't have to worry about doing the energy of your trauma healing work. And they don't have to do the energy of like working through your triggers and everything. Of course, you still have to do that, but it's not like, you know, if I see a really cute hedgehog, I'm trying to pick up the hedgehog, but the quill's down, then I can fit. But once that sucker has its quills up, and as much as I want to pet it, I can't. I'm going to look at it and be like, you're so cute. Can you plumb down so I can hold you, so I can like nestle you in and so we can cuddle? And the head of tone's like, hold on, who are you and why are you here? Right? Like, once you're able to feel safe and secure in yourself and be clear on what's a threat and what's not a threat, you don't have to live with your spines up all the time, when it makes it easier for people to come closer to you so that you can get what you actually want. And you don't have all the heartbreak, to bring it back to the title of this episode, The Benefits of Slow Burn Relationships, and taking your time. You don't have heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak of people that you continue to fall in love with or think that they're the one or this is the opportunity that now you have to heal and recover from, which makes it may make it harder for the next person, but may make you weary of even wanting to do this at all. But you actually let people prove to you that they are worthy to have access to you in this way. Okay. So again, if you want more information on pacing and dating the way that I teach it, the book is going to be talking about finding people who are foundationally like safe for you. But in the program, I talk more about the chemistry and the what do you want list and what that looks like and all that other stuff. So you can get access to that by going to blackgirlsheal.org/dating or the recovery school, which has that plus a full recovery process in 90 days from love addiction and love avoidance, getting you started and giving you skills to continue to grow in the rest of your life. You can go to therecoveryschool.com and enter the code NEWSTUDENT for 20% off. That code expires on November 1st. Okay, so again, y'all have a few days from the time that this podcast is going to. So I hope you hear it when I'm posting it. So that's it. All right, I will talk to y'all later. As always, please take care of yourselves, and I will see you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.